Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll look at the accomplishments of 2013 and ahead to upcoming events for 2014 with the Minnesota National Guard and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Joining me now in the studio is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. General, welcome back to the studio and Happy New Year.
Thank you, Tom. It's great to be back again.
Another year, sir. Here we go. I don't know what happened to 2013, but another year in the past.
It is. And, the reason I'm here today is to talk to you about the challenges and the accomplishment that the Minnesota National Guard had during 2013. But, Tom, if I can, before I start, I want to again thank you for the wonderful program that you put on for our listeners and for our veterans, for our families and employers. The 3 years that this station has taken on this challenge has been very, very rewarding to our service members. And I hear that from wherever I go, that they tune into the radio stations across Minnesota, and they always find very valuable information. So, again, thanks for doing this for the past 3 years and for the management at Clear Channel to take this and to take it to the level of an award-winning program that it is today.
My pleasure, sir. And, of course, without the full support of yourself and the commissioner over at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we'd have never had a chance to put this show on the air. And thank you, sir, for supporting the show and making so many people available to talk to us. It's been a fun ride, and we got a few more years to go, General.
Well, I'm looking forward to continuing to support this great program. Well, Tom, you asked a question. If I could summarize what we've accomplished in 2013 and what we look forward to. During the year, the Minnesota National Guard saw a decrease in the number of soldiers and airmen who deployed overseas, basically due to the drawdown of forces from Afghanistan. During the year, about 900 total soldiers and airmen deployed and returned safely. But specifically, to talk about some of our units, 4 Minnesota National Guard units deployed in 2013, the 850th Horizontal Engineer Company and the 849th Mobility Augmentation Company went to Afghanistan. Our Detachment 39, or our Operational Support Aircraft Command, is currently in Kuwait and is expected to return in April of 2014. And soldiers from our 114th Transportation Company also deployed to Afghanistan. 6 of our units that returned in 2013 were the 2nd Battalion, 147th Assault Helicopter Battalion, Company C, the 2nd General Support Aviation Battalion, 211th Aviation Regiment, our 257th Military Police Company, the 147th Human Resources Company, the 147th Finance Detachment, and finally the 47th Chaplain Support Team.
General, it seems like when the 1st Brigade Combat Team was out with 2,700 soldiers, everybody paid attention. But all last year, we were talking about all these smaller deployments. It's still just as tough on every one of those soldiers and their family, even though there's smaller numbers going out, and we still have to take care of them, don't we?
You're right. Regardless of the size of the units or the total numbers, the processes that we have in place for the pre-deployment and the return of our soldiers, we take it to the same level of concern, and we bring out our communities to support them. So we don't back off just because we have small companies. In fact, as I mentioned, the 47th Chaplain Support Team were 2 individuals, and we put as much effort into preparing them for deployment, supporting them while they're gone, and upon their return for their families and their employers, as we do for the 2,700 that were with the BCT.
General, one of the topics we covered in 2013 was the change that allows women to serve in combat units. Can you tell us how that affected the Minnesota National Guard?
Tom, I'd be happy to. As you mentioned, the Department of Defense announced several policy changes during 2013 regarding women who serve in the military. including rescinding the ground combat exclusion rule, which prevented women from being assigned to combat units below the brigade level. The Minnesota Guard and our 1st Brigade Armored Brigade Combat Team volunteered to be one of nine test brigades, and that's one of nine across the nation. There's 28 brigade combat teams in the National Guard, so we stepped up and said we would like to be one of those test brigades and take a look at how do we reincorporate women in positions within units at the headquarters level of combat arms battalions that up to this exclusion period were previously unavailable to be assigned to. This process does not involve opening prohibited specialties, though, up to women, but rather allowing women to serve in jobs that are already available to both genders in units that once prohibited females from serving in them. This effort is part of a larger phased implementation plan to remove gender-based barriers to service in all of the armed forces, a move that I, in my opinion, believe is long overdue. You know, at the direction of the National Guard Bureau, mid-grade females in the officer and enlisted ranks were considered first in order to begin that transition. Prior to that, the Minnesota National Guard asked for volunteers to move into positions that were already vacant. Exchanged positions where the move really benefited both soldiers or allowed positions to be filled through, in Minnesota, our enlisted promotion system, allowing the best qualified, and I think that's an important part, allowing the best qualified individual, male or female, to fill that position. Our units became involved in this process once we became the test bed, or proof of principle, as we called it. And the units that this was open to then received specific training prior to the assignments of women taking place in those units. And that training focused on equal opportunity, training soldiers in certain areas to include sexual harassment and sexual assault response and prevention in order to prepare for a smooth transition of these women to these new opportunities. Nationally, formerly male-only specialties in combat engineering will be available now to women in the summer of 2014. And field artillery, armor, and our infantry units are expected to be open to females in the summer of 2015, with then full gender-neutral availability anticipated sometime in 2015.
General, is it true that this had a greater impact on the Army side than the Air side? Did on the Air National Guard, weren't most of the jobs open to men and women?
You're right, Tom. The Army has held a lot of these positions, those combat arms positions, for many years only to male positions, where the Air Force has been more open on integrating in both our air wings, the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth and the 133rd Airlift Wing in Minneapolis. Have a higher percentage of women serving those units than those, again, combat arms units that we have in Minnesota Army National Guard.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, over the course of the last 3 years, and even more so last year, seems like you've taken on every tough subject there is, and I know that you've focused on suicide prevention and resilience in the Minnesota National Guard. Was 2013 a big year for that, sir?
Tom, it was. You know, it's one of my priorities as the Adjutant General is to provide trained, ready, and available forces to our governor, to our communities, and obviously then to the president when we're federally mobilized. And we have to get at issues that are tough to deal with and attack them from the beginning. And certainly suicide is one of those issues that I came into the position with that we had to deal with up front. And just recently, the Minnesota Department of Health released its most recent suicide data, and that was in August of 2013, highlighting an increase in Minnesota in adult suicide. In the state, our statewide data shows that it follows along a national trend, and the Minnesota National Guard is certainly not exempt from this societal issue. During since 2007 until currently, Minnesota has led the nation, unfortunately, in the number of suicides. when you combine all those years together. And as a result, we have developed a robust suicide prevention effort in Minnesota. Our soldiers and airmen are, as you know, our most valuable resources, and well-being of our members is a top priority for the leaders here in the Minnesota National Guard.
General, the topics like suicide, things that do affect the entire society in the United States, your soldiers and airmen just aren't exempt from that, are they?
No, they aren't, Tom. You know, we draw our new members from society, young men and women who want to be part of something larger than themselves, a professional organization. So that's the pool that we draw from. And so the issues that when I talk about societal issues across the nation, and we deal with that. And, you know, certainly the causes of suicide are difficult to define and different in each tragic case that we investigate. The top issues that we see relating to suicide in Minnesota National Guard are consistent with those that have seen throughout society. Issues like employment, relationships, mental health, substance abuse, and financial issues.
General, we've had a lot of your teams on the show over the course of the last year, and the thing we keep coming back to is training, training, training. And it seems like you've really increased the training for suicide prevention and trying to help your soldiers and airmen to understand that this is something they can get help for.
You're right, and that's part of the issues that we dealt with going into this. During this past year, we've documented 37 successful suicide interventions, and we're proud of that because the word is out that it's okay to come forward. It's okay to say that something is wrong, and we then provide them with assistance across Minnesota and all the communities that we're in. And we train 247 members of our force as suicide intervention officers using what's called an Applied Suicide Intervention Skills Training, or ASSIST. And it's a model of suicide intervention. And it introduces a number of ways to get after this, to include such things as a smartphone application as a tool for our service members in distress, because they're very attuned to new technology. And when you can put applications on them on a phone such as that, or the other tools that they have to communicate, it's very, very valuable.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about 2013 and look ahead to 2014. We've been speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been joined today by Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. General, I've been on this show 3 years, and last year kind of summed up everything. Seems like you take on every tough subject there is, but then you're the boss, so you have to provide that leadership. Sir, one of the teams we've had through the show was your teams that showed us all the efforts you're trying to make on sexual assault and sexual harassment in the military. You've been working on that really hard too as well, haven't you, sir?
That's correct, Tom. It's one of those things, as you mentioned, it's a leadership issue. And that's the message that I get to all of our officers and non-commissioned officers, our soldiers and airmen across Minnesota, and try to provide that guidance and leadership in the way ahead, whether it's in the suicide prevention or the other scourge that's out in the military, as most of your listeners have read, and that's the sexual assault, sexual harassment issues. And we're certainly not immune to that subject in Minnesota. It should go with the message that sexual assault is a crime and a problem that violates everything we in the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard stand for and our values. The fight against sexual assault and sexual harassment is one of our priorities, and we are working not only to combat that problem in our force, but also to bring perpetrators to justice. As a little background, Tom, since 2011, I've authorized 5 separations from military service, permanently withdrawn the federal recognition of 3 commissioned officers, approved multiple administrative rank reductions, and generated numerous permanent letters of reprimand and non-judicial punishment in cases of sexual harassment and sexual assault. Perpetrators are being brought to justice.
General, another one of those areas that affects this population in general, all of society. And I wish that we had some leaders in the society that took as hard a line on as you just demonstrated, because all of your soldiers and airmen know where you stand, don't they?
They do, Tom, and that message is going out to our force. It's on our website. Myself and Command Sergeant Major are talking to many soldiers, airmen, and our leadership that this is not acceptable behavior, regardless of the societal issue, like the suicides that we're facing. It's not acceptable in a professional force.
General, 2013 looked like another busy year for you. Looking ahead to 2014, where are your priorities, sir?
Well, Tom, in 2013, the Minnesota National Guard continued to solidify our role as an important part of state and national defense during this time of fiscal austerity. And I believe that that will continue to be issues that we're going to have to face over the next 3 to 5 years. In 2014, we will communicate that more than a decade of war has shaped the Minnesota National Guard as an effective force, and our soldiers and airmen embrace the role of being always ready for our state, community, and nation for a couple reasons. First of all, and foremost, the National Guard is more cost-effective when compared to active component forces. While our soldiers and airmen only train, as you know, 39 days per year, we sustain readiness levels comparable to the active component that enable all of our combatant commanders to call our forces for missions around the world at any time. Since 9/11, Minnesota National Guardsmen have deployed more than 26,000 times on behalf of our nation. Next, we are an accessible and capable force to Minnesotans. Operating in 63 communities across our state, our citizen soldiers and airmen represent our state's diversity and demographics. As you have seen firsthand, Tom, when one of our hometown units go to war, Minnesotans go to war with them. This can be seen in more than the 250 Yellow Ribbon networks across our state, as well as through the support of tremendous employers. With so many prominent companies in Minnesota, this employer support is invaluable to the Department of Defense at the national level. Third, when the National Guard is not on federal duty, our service members and equipment remains in Minnesota and is a valuable asset available to our local authorities when we respond to their call to the governor. The National Guard leverages not only our federal military resources to assist local authorities in disasters and home.
We're speaking with Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we've talked many times before. There's a federal and a state mission, and all of those things come up all the time. I'm sure you have future threats that you're preparing for.
You're right, Tom, and we plan and train for those on a regular basis when we're back in the homeland. You know, the National Guard across our nation leverages the federal military resources that are provided to us to assist local authorities in disasters or homeland security events. We provide our governor a unique ability to respond to events in Minnesota through trained manpower and ready equipment. And finally, future threats to our nation will not subside, in my opinion. Our highly trained civil support team and our chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive enhanced response force packages that we have here in Minnesota train routinely with local emergency management to ensure that we have synchronized responses in case of future homeland security situations. Our Guard, our Minnesota National Guard, trains on a continuous basis with state and county agencies, along with our aviation, our communication platforms, and our joint use facilities across the state to make sure that we are always prepared. Our combat-proven forces will remain our state's greatest asset and able to respond to future threats in a very cost-effective manner.
General, once again, in 3 years of doing this show, I keep hearing every time we have one of your officers or enlisted people on, I hear about training, and about making contacts internationally and through in the state of Minnesota. We've got the spring flooding season coming up. And your folks have been out training with all the other agencies around the state. They've got a Rolodex that really works. If there's something comes up, they know who to call. And that constant training for the state mission and the federal mission puts you in a position to be, all your troops in a position to be ready at any time, doesn't it?
That's correct, Tom, because when we're back here in the homeland within our state and the equipment that we have the capabilities to respond to those requests to the governor's office and to Homeland Security. You know, in January, we're already preparing for the flood season. We're tracking that with our partners, the county sheriffs across the state. In fact, next month, we're already going to start working on tornado preparedness with the city of St. Paul. And so that's what we do. We train for those unexpected. So when it does happen, we're prepared. We know who to respond to. And that's the beauty of the citizen soldier and airman, because they know who they have to respond to, as opposed to a federal force coming to Minnesota to assist our citizens. So it's a valuable asset that we have for protecting our communities and our state.
General, we just got a couple of minutes left. One of the other things that I've noticed on the show is the quality of the troops that belong to the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard is extraordinary. Your career goes back to just about the time when I came back from Vietnam and there was a draft on, and the quality of the troops maybe wasn't as good. But what would you say to our listeners out there that are thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard or in the military? And I know what you're going to say when I ask you about the quality of your troops and the condition of the Minnesota National Guard today.
Well, Tom, I'm very proud, as you know, to be the Adjutant General of these wonderful men and women that serve. And it's a volunteer force, as you know. As you and I have talked many times, I was drafted back in 1972, so I certainly have experienced the post-Vietnam era and the opinion of service members at that time. And I think if you look at any polls, you will find now that our profession, the Department of Defense, our military service members in all services and all branches, are held in the highest esteem. And when you look at not only a profession but organizations, the military is always ranked number one. I won't say who number 10 is, because I think most of your listeners know where that is. But that you know, makes me always want to do better to be able to maintain the trust and confidence of the citizens of Minnesota and those in our nation, to maintain that level of trust in our soldiers and airmen and hold them to the higher standard.
General, you still have need for some new troops?
I'm sorry?
Do you still have need for some new recruits?
Absolutely, we do. You know, certainly folks like me are at the tail end of our careers, and we're going to need to retire at some point in time. And so there's always a turnover of soldiers and airmen that meet the end of their careers and are retiring. So we're always in the business to give opportunities and challenges to young men and women in Minnesota to, again, serve in a professional organization and to be part of something larger than themselves.
General, I'd like to thank you for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio and for all your support. I think we're getting some good stories out for all our veterans and all our listeners.
Well, Tom, again, I want to thank you and Clear Channel for this opportunity to bring the great guests that you have over the last 3 years. As I've told you personally, when I tune into these programs and listen when I'm not available, I always find something that I didn't know. And that's saying something after doing this for 42 years. And so you're able to find those niches and bring out the best in our soldiers, airmen, and the communities that support us. So I want to thank you again for the great 3 years, and I look forward to the next three.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with some information on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined in the second half of the show by the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in person. Here's Larry Shelito.
How you doing, Tom?
Commissioner, welcome back to the show. You haven't done this very often, have you?
No, not too often. But now that you're growing so fast and all across the state of Minnesota, I'm getting excited about this. Well, congratulations.
Thank you, sir. We're all over the state now, and we've got more radio stations joining us. And it's one of the things that you wanted to do when you took over as commissioner, is make sure that the veterans in the state of Minnesota knew about veterans benefits. Well, and all of the things that your department works on.
Well, you're first of all, you're awesome. I just want to say Happy New Year, and appreciate all the stuff that you've done for us and getting the word out, because you are helping veterans, and that's absolutely critical. So all you veterans out there, you better tune in and listen.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Commissioner, for those few people in Minnesota that don't know about it, can you tell us about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs? What's your mission over there?
Well, actually, our mission is taking care of veterans, first and foremost. And we have two groups. We have program and services, and then we also have the homes. The homes are for our veterans up in age, Minneapolis, Silver Bay, Fergus Falls, Laverne, and Hastings also. And we provide respite, if you will, for those up in the upper ages taking care of it. And they're doing very, very well. Then we have our program and services, which most of our veterans out there in your listening audience would want to be aware of. And these are the programs that we do to take care and fulfill the promises to the veterans that were made. So, in fact, one of the key things that we just did a little while ago is we had representatives from the federal VA come to Fillmore County, and we dedicated the grounds for a new cemetery that is now in the process of being constructed to take care of veterans. One of the benefits of the Veterans Administration is that every veteran should have a cemetery within 75 miles of their home. Because it's important for the family to be able to visit where they're laid.
And this is the, this is the second state veteran cemetery in Minnesota.
Yeah, the second one, yes. We have the first one in the what I call the flagship in out of Little Falls. But also we have the plans, and we basically are going to be covering the Four Corners. We've got a lot of work going on up north by the Duluth area. They've identified some property, and that process, I've been signing my names to three copies of everything, sending them off to D.C. So those are things that we'll see, hopefully get confirmation before the end of this year, 2014.
Commissioner, you probably forgot that when you left the Minnesota National Guard, you didn't have to sign all those copies of everything anymore, but you really got it now, don't you?
Well, no, actually, my daughters once said, I'd like to have a job just like yours. And I said, what's that? Well, all you do is sign your name and talk on the phone. So,
and on the radio, sir.
That's correct.
2013, we just finished another year. Was it a good one?
It was a very good one. And as I prepared for this show, I sat down and started writing because we have to do our annual report also. And as I mentioned, we talked about the cemetery in Fillmore County. But we have a great partnership with the regional office in the cities, and we remodeled and upgraded our facilities there so we can serve veterans better and faster at the Fort Snelling Whipple Building. So we're excited about that. We got new leadership down in Laverne and a young leader, Luke, who's just doing an outstanding job.
And we just signed up a radio station in Laverne that joined us on January 4th.
That's right. Yes, yes.
So we're great. Following you around, sir.
Well, no, I think I'm following you. You're pretty fast. I remember you were there with me, and the twins did the celebration of Vietnam veterans. But also I'm seeing, as I just drive around, more and more people just being aware of saying thank you to veterans. I was a little worried that it might drop off, but it hasn't.
And I should thank you, sir, because I had the opportunity to go down to the Twins game with my family and raise the flag, and it was a wonderful family experience. So thank you for ordering me to go down there, sir.
Well, yeah, I did that too, And my arm got a little sore, but that's a heavy flag.
No, so, it is.
And so that's great. The Twins and even the Vikings and the major sports are very, very supportive of veterans. So that's, some of the things. We got a new website that's actually getting getting some random emails from people who are pretty particular, and they're just saying a great job.
So, we're speaking with Commissioner Larry Shelledo on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, we had your folks on that built that website a couple of months ago, and I got to tell you, it's beautiful. Yeah. It really works. The old site was a little hard to get around.
Well, I can get around it, so it has to be good.
Well, the veterans in Minnesota must really love that because you can find a lot of good information on there now, and it's easy to navigate.
Yes, and that's the key, is just to get as much information, but to any veteran out there, when in doubt, call. because we want to make sure that we get it done and we get it done right.
Commissioner, how many veterans do we have in Minnesota these days?
Well, you know, the VA uses an algorithm, and 381,722 was the last algorithm I saw. So, and that's down. It was over the 400,000. As we know, the World War II generation is passing. But we also now see an influx. The largest body of veterans in the state of Minnesota right now are Vietnam veterans. So
that's us, sir.
That's us. That's right. And we're getting to that age where it's important that we check with our county veteran service officers and make sure our paperwork is correct and so forth, so our family doesn't have to worry about it.
As we've said many, many times on this show, for all the veterans out there listening, go get your DD-214, your discharge certificate, and go visit your local county veteran service officer, usually hanging out around somewhere around the courthouse.
That's correct. Yeah.
Check in with them and just get registered.
That is correct. And that's very, very important. It's just, it's strange, but we're in a society that if your name doesn't show up in the computer, you don't exist. You know, you got to do it. And right now, actually, we're doing it partnering with the VA, and a lot of the county veteran service officers now have access remotely, and they can do it. You know, technically, our goal is they could sit on your kitchen table having a cup of coffee with you and check to make sure your paperwork is done correctly.
It's amazing how things have changed, isn't it, Commissioner?
Oh, it is, definitely.
Now, I know that we have the commanders of the various veteran service organizations on the show and have for the last couple of years, and they all get together in what's called the Commander's Task Force. And you work closely with them because you're over at the legislature promoting legislation for veterans' benefits.
Yeah, we have 9 congressionally mandated or authorized veterans organizations in the state of Minnesota. Why 9? I don't know, but they're all the major ones. And I refer to them as my board of directors. We meet monthly, in fact, usually the first Tuesday of the month. And we just go over the things and the concerns. And as the legislative session is going to be involved, normally we have a goal of not having to involve them too much. But as you know, last year we got funding on the Veterans Home. And
Commissioner, that's a funny story. We had last year's American Legion Commander Don Pancake in yes. that very chair that you're in today,
yep.
pounding on the table, talking about getting the money for Phase 3.
Yeah, and actually and that was key. I mean, because it's that old saying, all politics is local. And I will tell you, there's a veteran in every community in the state of Minnesota. You know, if you have a water tower, you have a veteran too. And they do carry a lot of influence when they have to. They're kind of a sleeping giant or a sleeping dog. But every now and then, if you kick them, they'll bark.
Commissioner, what would you tell the veterans listening that maybe don't belong to a veteran service organization and they're maybe whining and moaning about not getting what they deserve?
Well, I have a very strong opinion on that. I'm a member of about 7 of those 9 veterans organizations. I don't care if you go to a meeting or not. That's my personal philosophy. But you have to support the veterans organizations. We have a saying in the military, leave no fallen soldier behind. And to not join is, I'll just be blunt, it's unacceptable to me. You know, it's
a wasted opportunity to add your name to the group and promote the benefits for veterans.
I mean, I hate the phrase, what's in it for me? Because you won't realize what it's in for you. I've been a member of one of the organizations for over 40 years, and I've gone to 2 meetings. You know, the first one, I'm a Vietnam vet, and they didn't treat me very well, so I got mad at them. And then I figured I got to go back. And the guy that didn't treat me very well, I thought he was still there. So, but I paid my dues every year because it's important that we take care of all of our veterans. So,
sure. And that's the reason
that's my message to the group this year. New Year's resolution. Join a veterans organization. And oh, by the way, like I say, it's not uncommon to see veterans of 2 or 3 organizations.
And I think I belong to about five, Commissioner. And on that note, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about your plans for 2014. We're speaking with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and I've been joined the second half of the show by the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo. Commissioner, 2013 seems like it was a long year, but got a lot of things done, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, it was a very good year. You know, you talk about like the song and the wine. You know, This is a good vintage year. So I'm very, very pleased with my team and the veteran service organizations and veterans in general, and the legislature and the governor, all saying we need to make sure that we bring our veterans all the way home, our soldiers, veterans, you name it.
Commissioner, I'm not sure all of our audience understands that phase 3 of the Minnesota Veterans Home out by the airport, but that kind of ties the campus together and finishes off the whole remodeling, doesn't it?
Yeah, the original design was submitted a number of years ago, and it had three phases to it, rebuilding on the campus. And phase 1 was funded, and we opened that up and it's very well. We got the funding for phase 2, and that was going well. We were having some struggles with the money on phase 3, but fortunately the cooler heads prevailed, because it's like Legos. Everything connects to everything, and you can't. So the decision to go with a 3-phase project a number of years ago became a decision some new people had to accept as it was going through. To be honest with you, I would never do a phased project again. It was a little, you know, because it's a lot of work and
hard to complete.
Well, yes, and people change, come and go. The idea is great under one administration and inherited by another, and same with the legislators. So we worked through it. We've got it going. We're now waiting for the economy has an impact, because 2/3 of the funding comes from the federal government. So we're in that last little bit to just make it all happen.
And at a bad time to get the money from the federal government.
That's...
Commissioner, about a month ago, we had on your folks from the Veterans Home talking about the daycare center for
the
for
adult
day.
Oh, yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
Sounds like, I haven't seen it yet, but it sounds like what a facility, and they really take good care of the veterans.
Yeah, one of the interesting parts of that facility, it's in a historical building. So when you do remodeling and so forth, and you bring the historical society in there, it's you have to be very, very careful. But they did an outstanding job, and what it leads up to, though, is on the federal and state levels, is they're looking more and more to alternative ways of taking care of our seniors in general, and the VA is usually a leader. So that they can still be at home, and yet the family can get on with their life, go to work, and so forth. So it's sort of like, you know, if my daughters were taking care of me, they could drop me off on the way to work and pick me up on the way home, and it works out. It's a win-win for everybody.
Your people told me I should come out and visit, but I was afraid they wouldn't let me go home again, for sure.
No, it was kind of cute, because we had our Norwegian guests who were there, and we showed that to them, only to find out that one of the veterans there came from the same hometown as he was from. And that was just kind of an interesting family reunion to the Norwegians. They thought no one could speak Norwegian.
Here in Minnesota, they can. We're speaking with the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelledo, on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, you've told us you've got the two sides, kind of the programs and services, and then the homes. And you've got a couple of pretty good experienced deputy commissioners there. We've had them both on the show. They look like good, hardworking folks.
Oh, yeah. Reggie Worlds has got my program services. He was down in the counties before when he moved up. He's responsible. He's come up with some good, innovative things as we continue to move. He helped and organized a grant out to our county veteran service officers, so they had some more money to do the things that weren't fully funded It's a, almost like a discretionary fund, and we're seeing a lot of great work being done out in the counties because they finally have some resources to get it done. On the home side, Mike Alucci, I hired him, and we he's an old command sergeant major. Command sergeant major, and he hasn't left it yet. He's but he has brought structure and discipline and so forth to the homes, and they're getting accolades, and the ratings and so forth are just they're doing very well. I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, we could tell he was still a command sergeant major when he was in the studio here.
Oh, yes.
He didn't have any hesitation at all. He knew what he was up to. Well, it's good, sir, that you've got a couple of good deputy commissioners and a good staff over there. It seems like there's a lot going on.
Well, you know, there is. There's I have to thank you, Tom, because the getting the word out is absolutely critical. And we talked about it earlier. You just need to go in. You need to check and ask. Also, the general population time and time again, as I'm listening to the radio, I hear the phrase, even from stations that or people, shows that aren't yours. I mean, you're dedicated to it. But some others that'll talk about taking care of the veterans. It's a lot different, as you know.
It is, sir. We've just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts about 2014 and the undone, unfinished business that you're looking forward to for this year?
Our goal is to strengthen our systems and our processes and so forth to make sure that we can be reach more people and we can do it right all the time, first time. Those types of things. We're getting more and more into automation, technology, wireless. So my goal is to, by the end of the year, have someone sit at your kitchen table and they can check your records right from there.
Take care of all the veterans in the state of Minnesota. Big job, sir.
It is a big job, and I'm proud to have it.
Commissioner, thanks for joining us on this annual update. Let's find out what happened in 2013 and what you're planning for 2014.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
That was the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Shelado, on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our special guests for joining us this week, Commissioner Larry Shelado, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we'll see how organizations across the state are joining forces to support our troops, and we'll meet the new director of the Minneapolis VA. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.